Welcome to Season 4 of Smouse in the House, presented by Adventures in Americana, a platform that promotes and supports artists and live music venues. In this series, our host, music journalist and photographer Tom Smouse, visits artists to discuss songwriting and listen to one of their songs. For this season, we're talking to many of the artists on the bill of Amerigrass, a one-day festival taking place Saturday, October 7th at Minneapolis's Hook and Ladder Theater and Lounge. We're excited to be partnering with this new festival, hosted by award-winning country act Megan and the Birdwatcher, which brings some of the region's best bands to the Hook.
Welcome to another Smouse in the House presented by Adventures in Americana. This is the podcast where we're the guests. My name is Tom Smouse, and today we're here with Zach and Bronson with Papa Bear Norton, America's only, and therefore number one, daredevil country act. Described as hilarious hillbilly music, Papa Bear Norton is one of the seven bands performing at the October 7th Amerigrass Festival at the Hook and Ladder. We're actually sitting inside an ad agency here in Minneapolis, which I think is kind of a clever tie-in to your music and your identity as an artist, because obviously you are also considered an entertainer as well, and I think that that's a dynamic that we don't often hear artists think of themselves as, even though they are. So I'm excited to have you here on this podcast today.
Thanks for having us.
Mr. Bear, is
that
the official name?
Oh my God. I mean, Mr. Bear, yeah, you know. Papa Bear, really, you can refer to us as anything except Bronson.
Perfect. Well, I'm drawn to the country foundation of your music. And I know that, like, a lot of that to me, like, harkens back to Buck Owens, Johnny Cash, and even Waylon and Willie. But, I mean, I feel like the Midwest has this upper hand when it comes to country music just because we're in the middle of everything. Take me through, I guess, your songwriting and where that blend of what you do comes from, because you're here in the Midwest.
How far back do you want to go?
Very heavy question. And
there's just two. Right, there's just that. Like two sections to that. So for me, like, I've been songwriting literally since high school. I'm 45, so it's been a while. But I just, all my friends were learning tab, and I was, honestly, everything I do for this band is born out of laziness.
Yeah.
So, like, I had convinced myself songwriting was easier than learning tablature. And early on, you know, my main influences were probably more like John Denver, Neil Young, Oasis, like that, right?
Okay.
It wasn't until I met my now wife. We've been married for 22 years now, so it's been a while, but her uncle came to visit, and we went to a local record shop in Minneapolis, and he pulled out a Buck Owens and his Buckaroos Live at Carnegie Hall. And Uncle Al was like, "Do you own this?" And I said, "No." And he's like, "I'm buying it for you. It'll change your life." And it sounds so cliche, but it absolutely did. And then fast forward, I'll let Bronson tell his story, but fast forward to when we decided to do this, he was adamant about it being a duo. I was terrified because he's just an absolute guitar monster. He's skillful in every way, and I am not. And so I've always been in groups prior to that where I've surrounded myself with immense talent so that I could make up for my shortcoming. And he just said, he's like, "As long as you keep writing the good stuff, I've got the guitar stuff covered." And then I said, "Well, let's listen to this record. This is what it's going to have to be like." And really, truly, it's very much based off of Buck and Don and their relationship like that, where they were kind of two in the same, actually. And Don, some would say, who's even more talented than Buck. But I never say that about Bronson, of course. But
well, I mean, I didn't get to name the band.
Okay, we got that all the way right away. It's true. But neither did Don. So there you go.
Yeah,
but that's kind of... Jeepers creepers. You knew it was coming. We warned you. That was a fast fire. That one. And here ends the podcast. Shortest Smouse in the House ever. But we kind of liked it. And the thing that I love about Buck and Don and the Buckaroos and that album in particular is at the time he was one of the biggest stars on earth. He had the first crossover hit from country to pop. He had so many number ones that when you listen to the record, there's three medleys. They couldn't even fit all their songs in a show. He sold out Carnegie Hall multiple times, but when they went out there, it was still aw shucks, where they, you know, he could buy and sell those people a million times over, but they were the brunt of their own jokes. It was all self-deprecating, either at the expense of himself or the band. It was not, we're better than the audience at all. And especially with the way that country music, modern country, has gone, where it's more like rock and roll. And that's fine, but it's more of a spectacle. It's more of, you are so lucky to be witnessing me playing for you. We decided that we wanted to go the other way and let people in on the joke. And so that's where we're at. B, why don't you tell them your history?
I just played guitar in cover bands for a while and then graced these guys with my presence. And now they had an ad in Craigslist and I answered it. We were in another band together for a little bit and then we got out of that and started the duo thing. Hmm. I try to make the story short. He's a little bit more of a...
That's why we're such a good team.
He's an explainer. But that's basically how it ended up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think as a fan, there's a real thing that I like is following the development of a band throughout albums and years and stuff. So your debut album came out in 2015. Take me through, you know, the past 8 years now. Where do you feel like you've developed as a musician and as an entertainer?
I'm just going to say this. When we first started writing together as a duo, I was a completely different songwriter. I would come in with a song probably 80 to 90% done, show it to Bronson. He would deconstruct it, much to my dismay, but then ultimately to my joy. He would have to argue for what his ideas were. And we still laugh about it, because he'd be like, you should try this. And my response every single time was, well, I didn't write it that way. And then he would laugh at me and say, try it. I'll be the first one to say it. And that's just how it was, because that's all I knew.
Yeah.
And I would be offended for him if I tried to do that now, or if he tried to do that. Now it's, if you get a nugget of an idea for a song, you text it to the other guy. Some of our songs, we've written them over text over like a Thanksgiving day. You know, I mean, like, it's just, we'll figure out the melody later.
Yeah.
But the lyric content's always first and foremost for us. The jokes and the humor. And then you have essentially we have what we call slowies and burners. And the slowies usually have to be very heartfelt and sincere, good old country western sad country song.
Yeah.
And then the burners are usually more humorous or kind of in that vein where you can get a little more buck wild. But right, B?
Yeah.
You're not singing a lot, I'm sorry.
No,
that's
really
a few short wind.
I don't have a lot to say. It's pretty easy. We're fans of Buck Owens and we're fans of Weird Al.
True. That's great. Yeah,
yeah.
Buck Owens and Weird Al had a baby, it would be us.
Yeah.
So, well, two babies.
Twins.
Like, twins. And then when you close your eyes, think of Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger, because that's about what it is.
No, that's really... It's fun to be an act rather than just go up and play some songs.
Yeah.
And that's how we've changed as entertainers. That's it in a nutshell. Mm. I think when you start, almost everybody in music, when you start... You start from the same point, which is we're going to be cool and we're going to be this band,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Then what we realized is, even though we bill ourselves as a band and we play with the same energy and intensity as a full band, no one's ever going to take us as a band. We're a duo. It doesn't matter what we say. So then we were like, well, we're going to just have to prove them wrong. And then from that point, then you can throw that out the window and you can worry about how do you entertain folks. Mm-hmm. And once you bill yourself as an entertainer or entertainment or an act, as we do, then there's no rules. You can get as weird and as goofy as you want, and it's actually really freeing. We don't have to play within the constructs of a country band, a bluegrass band, a rock band, a hip-hop. I mean, we don't have to. We can do anything we want, and it's, well, that's just the guys in Papa Bear Norton, they're just that weird. That's just, and
we
love
it. We don't have to dress like anybody. We have to wear black all the time. We wore jean shorts and cowboy boots for our Idaho gigs.
Yeah.
You know, it's fun.
We almost wore them today, but it was just cool enough to get the regular jeans. Yeah, but once it becomes more about putting smiles on people's faces, which is what we try to do, and the best compliment I think we get at shows is someone that comes up and says, I don't like country music, but I love you guys.
Yeah. I think the best compliment is, that guitar player is fantastic.
talking about a compliment that actually happens.
The other guy needs to work on his voice a little bit, but that guitar player is world class.
Damn.
So when I hear that, I go home and I
The way that you can solo over the rhythm guitar section when he actually... How do you even reverse the rhythm when it's a rhythm guitar?
I'm kidding.
He's special.
High skills.
I put the idiot in Idiot Savant, that's for sure.
I'm kidding.
Well, I wanted to give our listeners a taste of a song called Man of Many Beers. It's one of your burners.
It's more of a... We introduced a new one for this record. We have a couple midis, mid-tempos.
Oh, okay.
So it's kind of a mid-tempo one. And the way that this came about, I actually have a buddy who lives way up north, and he's a true bona fide redneck. Yeah. And I used to get texts at like 2, 3 in the morning with just one phrase or a couple words. And I knew it just meant he was hammered and he thought this would make a good song. And we've actually used about 3 of them. Mm-hmm. But one time I just got... And all it says was, I've got a Busch Light buzz. That's all it said. Go for it. And so I was like, this actually, can we write a song called Busch Light Buzz, which was the original idea. And then we started toying around with it, and it couldn't just be a cliche country thing to do, would be to just list off beer. You know, maybe all the beers you have in your cooler or whatever. And yeah. So instead, we decided to go with the story of this kind of down and outer. It's kind of an interesting song. It's a classic Buck Owens switcheroo where it's you kind of laughing at the lyrics, but if you actually sit and listen to it, the guy is pretty pathetic. Yeah. The guy is actually sort of really sad.
He doesn't even have a favorite beer.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like just made up of many beers. He's a man of many beers. And then his lady leaves him, and honestly, he's like, I'd call for you to come back to me, but I can't even remember who you are, kind of a thing. And it's funny and sad simultaneously. And we're really happy with it. I mean, the whole new record we're happy with, but
this one's pretty cool. Well, it's just a departure because it's not a slow year burner. It's a very mid-tempo song. Mm-hmm. That's something a little different for us, is to just do a MIDI like that.
So. And it's not like some of our burners have maybe a little twinge of like bluegrass to them. Yeah. And the slowies are very like... Willie Nelson or George Jones.
Either a waltz or a 6/8.
Yeah. This one always made me think of something that like Bobby Bear would sing. Something like that, just like that kind of plodding, I love this guy, but I almost love this character because he needs love so bad because he's just a mess.
You just feel, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Let's take a listen.
Recall the color of your hair, but I can't forget how you were crying there, saying you're leaving cause there had to be more to life than fooling around and hanging out here. How I should take this opportunity to search inside and find the real me. I took a look and found a man held together with duct tape and a bunch of beer. I got a Busch Light buzz, that's some Budweiser bravery. With an old Milwaukee mouth that stirs up trouble from time to time. A crooked drain belt grill with a McGolden glove right hook and enough Miller Light memory loss to get you off my super glued to this bar stool, and that you left me devastated and alone with no one but myself to blame. Truth is, when I get running low on beer, that's when I start missing you, dear. And I'd love to beg you to come back, but I can't recall your number or name. I got a Busch Light Buzz and some Budweiser Bravery. Within on me walking out that stirs up trouble from time to time. A crooked grain belt grin with a McGolden glove right hook and enough Miller Light memory loss to get you off my mind. I got a Busch Light Buzz and some Budweiser Bravery. With an old man walking out that stirs up trouble from time to time. Blue ribbon for getting you off of my mind. Off of my mind.
You're listening to Smouse in the House, presented by Adventures in Americana. We're here with Papa Bear Norton, one of the 7 artists performing at the Amerigrass Super Show on October 7th. Well, personally, I'm very excited to see you guys play. I mean, all of your videos and social media that I take in, there just seems to be this humor and energy that just jumps off of the stage. So I'm excited to see all 7 bands that night. But looking forward to that festival, tell me about the lineup. If there's anyone that you've known that you've played together with, and what are you most excited for on October 7th?
I don't know a lot of bands, to be honest with you. Yeah. Like, I've met Megan and Noah, yeah, and I've listened, obviously, to, like, their music online and stuff, but, like, I don't have a deep relationship with them or anything. Probably the person I know the most is Del Wood. They're the young kids in the crew. They're really good, though. I think they have their upside and their ceiling is super high, so, and I've seen them play live a couple times, and their energy is really fun and unique. We talked about having to call ourselves entertainers to free ourselves from worrying about the constructs of what people think, and they just roll up on stage with they just who they are, which is very cool. But before we even knew what the lineup was, they asked us. They were still working it out. And for me, the thing that excited me was why? Why are they asking us? Like, maybe they don't really know what we're like. You know, I feel like we are kind of the zag in the zigzag, you know, where we kind of just veer off.
Yeah.
But I think that's what'll make it fun, you know. And not that everyone else sounds the same, I'm not saying that, but I think there's a vein that runs through it, which is what you would want in a festival too, you know. Like, but we're not really folk, we're not really bluegrass, we're singer-songwriters, but then we hook it up to a car battery and jolt it up a notch, you know. So like, it's we used to say we're like a country band that's powered on deer jerky Mountain Dew pop rocks. I mean, that's kind of like how we roll. So like, I just think it'll be fun. We've never played the hook. We're excited to do that. We don't venture into the metro a whole ton. It's not that we don't particularly want to, it's just not really a scene that's open to us a lot. But then you have certain venues like the Hook where you know that if you can develop a relationship with them, it could probably be good for both of you. So we're hoping that that seed is planted and we get to spend time listening to good artists. I mean, everybody is solid there. That's the nice thing. You don't really have anybody weak, you know what I mean? And so it's just going to be good music at a good venue. And then we get to do kind of what we feel like we do best, which is offer the weirdness and comedy relief of the whole evening. And yeah. Right, B?
Yes. I would.
Okay, that's enough from you.
Shut this guy up. He is taking all the air in this room.
What you don't know is he usually talks more than me, but I slipped some sedatives in his water before the interview. That's why he's staring at the lights.
Seems to be gleaned out from there. Yeah. I mean, it is. I mean, you have like jam grass, you have like outlaw country, you have folk, you have, I mean, there's just a lot of different facets of the lineup. And as a fan, I think there's a real win to that when you can arrive and be getting different veins of Americana stuff.
Plus, you don't get bored with the same old four on the floor beat for all night long.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
it's right. Different. And you'll probably have various subject matters. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. The songwriting will be different. I mean, like, if you go to an outlaw country fest, we're going to love it.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a lot of outlaw country. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. And that's just how that goes. Yeah, we just embrace it all. When we first started, we were really, okay, we're going to be the flag bearers for non-pop country. We're just going to hate it.
Yeah.
But then we have friends in town or acquaintances that do pop country. And it occurred to us, it doesn't need to be the divide. It just needs, there's room at the table for everybody. And respect goes a lot further than disrespect. You know what I mean? And so we have the Daredevil Country moniker, which we've actually slowly been moving away from, because we realized when we played fairs and booked as Daredevil Country, people thought that they were going to get like, we were going to be
fire shows.
Yeah. I was going to be singing country, and while he did a solo, I was going to be juggling chainsaws or something. Like, and we just called it that because it was two guys playing fast. And so when you get the speed wobbles, you're either going to make it out, pull it out, or crash and burn. So, yeah, now we just try to tell people we play country. It's not pop country. It's not old school, new school, classic. It's just country. And that opens it up for us to do whatever we want. Yeah. You know what I mean?
So no chainsaws from what I hear.
I'm going to keep the chainsaws. I checked with the hook. They said, please, no chainsaws.
Yeah, or fire.
Or fire. So it'll just be an acoustic guitar, an electric guitar.
Oh, it's going to be great.
And some sleeveless shirts.
But we're giving away free jackknives. So
there you go.
We're not. I'm sorry, we're not.
Dude, you got to stop. He told the crowd at a fair last week that if they helped us out on a song, he was going to buy everyone ice cream. And then he just walked off the stage after the show and went to the trailer.
I said, change clothes.
I
like,
said
put on
I would
a
buy
fake
them
mustache.
Ice cream on the way home. Nobody came home with us. Dude, to be clear,
I said,
I'll buy everybody
it's
ice cream.
It's in the fine print. That's true. That's true. Yeah. So look out, Hook.
Yeah.
Nobody.
Jack Dives may be coming.
Don't bring your jacket.
Man.
So let's peek ahead after October 7th. What do you have coming up on your radar? Like, where can people kind of plan to see you next?
Absolutely nowhere.
There's a break? Is it to record? Is it to rest?
No.
We're just looking for gigs.
Yeah.
We have an agent, Jailbird, we work with.
Yeah.
And they're primarily fair stuff.
Okay.
So that's all summer long.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
And October rolls around and...
We will be in a play if we can plug that. I don't know if they want us to.
Yeah, we do side work in a musical.
Okay.
The Folsom Prison Experience.
Ooh, that's exciting.
It's with the guys from the Church of Cash. I don't know if you've ever seen them.
Yeah.
The front man of that group, Jay, wrote a play/tribute show about the recording of Folsom. And the audience comes and they're the prisoners, and so it's like the whole everything's playing out in front of you.
Yeah,
and it's really good. And if you've never seen those guys in general, if you like Johnny Cash, I've seen off Broadway shows where there's supposed to be a Johnny Cash and stuff. He's the best I've ever seen. So.
Yeah,
and we will at some point be doing the official release of our album. Digitally, we just don't really know what that is yet. It'll be probably late fall.
Cool.
We have been toying around with doing a fried chicken buffet/gun raffle, but we'll see. See, you like it.
I'm over here beaming. I got a giant smile on my face because I've signed up. I don't even know what I'm going to, but I will.
Good, because we're hoping we can have it in your backyard.
Done. Cool. Well, we're excited to have you at the Hook on October 7th. It's going
to
be just a great show.
Yeah.
What time does it start? I don't even know. I don't know.
If only there was a way for you to look on your phone and find out.
I don't know.
I try to delegate.
October 7th.
Yeah.
Saturday, October 7th, 2023, starts at 4 p.m. or the doors open at 4, one or the other, and it goes till 11:30.
Tickets are still on sale. There's two different stages.
You look
yes. It's like 4 o'clock. Is that early for you?
I got a gig till 5 that day.
So oh, well then. Yeah.
I'll smooth her over.
Yeah.
Door's at 4.
There you
go. So you'll be fine because music's at 4:25. So get her done.
Yeah.
Get her done.
Well, see, there you go. I didn't know all that stuff.
You can edit
it. People probably didn't even know it either.
This is where she's like, we've got 2 minutes of usable material. But these guys aren't ripping on each other or sounding like complete idiots. Oh, boy.
Well, yeah. Thanks for your time today.
Well, thanks for coming
all the way down here.
It's not often that I leave a podcast with a bellyache from laughing. Yeah. So this is great.
Yeah, well, thanks for making the trip.
Yeah, thanks for making the trip, and hopefully our paths cross again. I mean, it will at the ladder.
Will at the ladder, yeah.
Yeah, I'll be 4 there. O'clock, doors open, 4:25, music starts.
Thank you,
5:30, Bronson shows up. All right.
Take care.
See ya.
Thank you.
For tickets to Amerigrass, go to thehookmpls.com. To see exclusive photos of our guests taken at the interviews, visit adventuresinamericana.com.
This has been an episode of Smouse in the House, the Amerigrass edition, brought to you by Adventures in Americana. I'm Jacqueline Knott, co-producer, along with Carol Roth and your host, Tom Smouse. The theme music for this season is Take It to the Garden by Megan and the Birdwatcher. Thanks for listening to this special fourth season of Smouse in the House. Stay tuned for information about season 5 by following Adventures in Americana on Instagram or Facebook.